This holiday season, Christmas is in chaos. The evil bot genius Playlisto has replaced every classic Christmas album with the 10 most played holiday songs on repeat.
Who needs albums? People just want their favorite songs over and over.
But hope spins eternal because the album nerds are back to save the season.
We're gonna spin some vinyl cheer.
Playlisto is about to get jingle bell rocked.
Let's drop the needle on Christmas.
Forget it, album nerds. I've optimized Christmas forever.
The album nerds save Christmas. Watch John and Dude battle for the musical fate of the season. Streaming everywhere you find comfort and joy. It's the Album Nerds Podcast Holiday Spectacular, featuring special guest appearances by Jess from Music Notes with Jess and Steve from the New Wave Music Podcast. And now, your hosts, Don and Dude.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Mother Truckin' Christmas, Kwanzaa, holiday, whatever. Donnie boy, you ready to celebrate some Yuletide shiz?
Feliz Navidad.
There you go.
Melikilikimaka.
Yeah, I'm very international.
Assalamu alaikum.
No. You know, there was a Christmas album I listened to where that was this past week where Assalamu alaikum was actually part of one of the lyrics.
Oh.
We might touch on that way later on in the show. But anyway, this is the Album Nerds Podcast. I'm Dude. I got Don with me. We're album nerds. We love the album format, talking about them, even when it comes to holiday music, which sometimes can be a little tiresome, a little played out, especially the older you get. When you're young, it's all pretty exciting, but how do you feel about holiday music in general there, Donnie?
I generally like it, although I have to kind of curate it myself. You know, I do get tired of, you know, listening to the same songs on the radio.
So you don't, you're not like one of those people that starts playing it November 1st?
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah. Small doses.
All right. So we have a great show for you today. We are each going to share a holiday album. We'll discuss it. No rules, no special gears or genres, just whatever we felt like talking about. And that's refreshing. It's always a lot of rules.
That is true. Lately, anyway.
Yeah. We're also going to have some special guests join us briefly for their album recommendations for the holidays. Then, of course, Don will ask us a deep question. Then we'll have some shout-outs to a couple of other holiday albums that we were digging as we went through this process. And then we will joyous to share what we'll be doing on the next episode. But today, it's all about the holidays.
Merry Christmas!
You choose me?
All right, my pick for a holiday album this year comes from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. This album came out in 1996. It's their debut album called Christmas Eve and Other Stories. Trans-Siberian Orchestra. So the band was founded by producer Paul O'Neill, who brought together members of the band Sabotage. Do you remember Sabotage at all?
Can't stand it. I know you planned it. Like that?
Listen, all y'all. No, that's not it. It's a, kind of a symphonic rock group.
With it was Sabotage. S-A-V is in Victor.
Yes. John Oliva, Al Petrelli, and Robert Kinkle make up the core of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Laces out, Kinkle.
I think that was Finkel.
But okay.
Good job.
I tried.
So there are many musicians and singers on this album. So the Trans-Siberian Orchestra is kind of, it's a fusion of kind of classical music and rock music. And, you know, it definitely feels very prog in the spirit of like Yes and Pink Floyd. Christmas Eve and Other Stories is a rock opera concept album. And it's actually meant to be the first part of a Christmas trilogy. Which we won't get to those other two today. Sorry. So just briefly, the story involves an angel being sent to Earth to find examples of kindness and acts that embody the true spirit of Christmas.
Good thing this was in 96 and not today. It might be a little tougher.
Maybe. But there are some things going on at that time, too, that were a little rough that come up in the album. But let's start with the opening track. This is An Angel Came Down.
Fill the night, the cold wind
So what was the angel on that it had to come down from? Like Speedballs?
That's very funny. Just hanging out with Willie Nelson.
Well, you know, very debaucherous down here on Earth.
This opening track kind of sets the tone and starts the story of the angel's journey. It incorporates elements of Franz Gruber's Silent Night.
Hans Gruber. Man, there's all these like almost right names.
Yeah, that's Die Hard.
You're very perceptive.
Come on, man.
So the lead vocals that you heard there were from a Michael Fawcett. I'm feeling Meatloaf on that. The vibrato or
no? I'm feeling youth group jamboree stuff from when I was a church kid in high school and I'd go to Youth for Christ events. That's right out of that playbook.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like the dude would always have a mullet because he was trying to be hip and it was like, it's not working, bro.
I think this does appropriately set the tone for the album. Kind of has that theatrical vibe, a little magical or mystical or something. You know, there's some Christmas spirit in this track, I think.
Sure.
Sure. Okay. I'm just trying to read your face.
You can't. I feel like these people had the faces of digitized cats because it does sound a lot like I pictured that wasn't there a movie of cats that musical and it was all creepy looking.
Oh yes,
like human cats. I picture something like that with this with this album. So very performative.
Okay. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, Andrew Lloyd Webber kind of.
Sure.
Kind of vibe, right? All right, well, let's hear another cut. Here's Good King Joy.
Now it was long ago when it all began, back in Bethlehem, in a promised land, a single star appeared.
Well, he was there, and
I feel like all the Garfield specials had that kind of singing.
I just feel like it's total jazz hands going on right now.
Yeah. So those vocals you hear there are by a Russell Allen. That's actually a pretty long song, Good King Joy.
Yeah, it is.
It doesn't get to the vocals until about halfway in. Before that, you've got kind of a medley or a mashup of Joy to the World and Good King Wenceslas.
Wenceslas.
Wenceslas. He lost. Wenceslas,
yeah.
that's typical of the whole album. Most of the songs, even though they're originals, there will be some element that you recognize from a typical holiday favorite.
I do. The musicianship and the medleys and stuff are all really cool. I appreciate that the story is there, but to me, it's kind of in the way of the music. I guess I wish that the story was just a couple of songs, maybe the beginning, a middle, and an end one to kind of fill in the story, and then the rest be that like sweeping symphonic rock stuff. But yeah.
Right. So this particular song, the lyrics deal with basically the nativity, in particular, the wise men's journey to Bethlehem.
I didn't hear, there was no mention of like the frankincense and myrrh and stuff though, right? I didn't catch that.
There might have been. Okay. I don't remember. But they were actually, I think they get so in the woods that they're like telling their help that they'll be back soon or something.
Jeez.
Water the plants and kind of, that kind of stuff.
Feed the cat.
So was there a track that you wanted to highlight?
Yeah, the track. The one that you hear all the time, the only one I was really familiar with. And the one that kind of gets you excited about checking it out. It's called Christmas Eve, Sarajevo, 1224. Yeah, I'm more about the Iron Maiden meets John Williams vibes, which you kind of get here. It's great. Kind of a cool backstory on this one, though. It was originally a Savatage track on an album from 1995 called Dead Winter Dead, a song inspired by the real-life story of a cellist believed to be Vedran Smolovich, who played classical music amidst the bombing during the Siege of Sarajevo in the 90s. In the Dead Winter Dead album, the track fit into a narrative about war and conflict and loss, and the re-release under the TSO Christmas-themed rock opera turns a wartime lament into a meditation on peace and hope and the spirit of Christmas and kindness and all that stuff. So I don't think they touched the song.
No, it sounds exactly the same.
But kind of a cool way of reframing. I mean, how you can reframe the meaning of a song just by what songs surround it. That's very important to the album format and enjoyment. So pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, this was the, you know, the one Trans-Siberian Orchestra song that I knew. And I've always liked it. I mean, I can get kind of pumped up to it because there's not much you can really rock to this time of year.
Yeah, in the holidays. That's tough. I always look for metal Christmas albums. And Rob Halford has put out a couple, the guy from Judas Priest, that are like pretty kick-ass.
Okay.
But most of the time, they wear on you.
Yeah.
They're cheesy. Like, you know,
Yeah, it feels like a novelty.
Yeah, it doesn't have the weight I'm looking for.
I really do like the cello and like the opening part of God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. It's very pretty and kind of melancholy sounding.
And then Carol of the Bells was the other chunk, right?
Yep. Yes. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about the closing track. Here's An Angel Returned.
Is that the same dude from the first song?
I think so.
Okay. I think the choir stuff helps push that more meatloafy vibe you were talking about earlier, because that does sound a little more Jim Steinman to me.
Yeah. It is a climactic ending to the album. So the, you know, the angel, you know, having found what it was looking for.
Oh, he'd like you too.
Yes.
Nice.
Returns to heaven. But yeah, you've got that, you know, that big choir at the end. You know, yeah, that's how a rock opera should end, right? With a climax like that.
Yeah. I do like the idea, though, of humanity, you know, higher powers, whatever, you can call it what you will, but the humanity being judged on its capacity for caring for one another. Maybe not all the time, but certainly, you know, at the holiday times or times of unified struggle or stress or strain, that people will come and support each other. And I think that's just a nice way to sum up what Christmas, you know, one of the things Christmas and the holiday season is really about.
Right. And which is what we often forget about when we're, you know, waiting in line for presents or...
Yeah. People get angry that we forget the religious side of things. But I think sometimes we forget to look at just the human element.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do think they capture that pretty well on this whole album. You know, it is a human story. There's a lost little girl that a bartender, you know, ends up helping people find. And
so this angel that was coming down is at a bar, tying one on.
Right. Isn't that a scene in It's a Wonderful Life when the...
Yeah, it sounds kind of like that, doesn't it?
Clarence is trying to order a drink.
Clarence getting drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, the narrative gets a little clunky.
I have a feeling most people, except for those that go watch the, you know, TSO is a huge stage show thing. People are on waiting lists for months or years to go see it. I'm sure the story is addressed there.
Probably.
Upon the album listening, I doubt it's front and center in most people's minds.
Yeah, I agree. All right, well, let's rewind and reflect on Christmas Eve and other stories. I'll start with my clickbait headline. Not a masterpiece, but Christmas Eve and Other Stories is a noble attempt to create an immersive holiday listening experience. I tend to think that holiday music is often, you know, for the background or, you know, to create a festive vibe. Or, you know, you're listening to Celine Dion or Josh Groban to be blown away by, you know, their vocal performance on O Holy Night or something. But I don't think most holiday albums are meant to be listened in this manner. You know, it's really trying to engage you. You know, you're supposed to be paying attention. So I think that's cool that they did that.
Yeah. This is for the parents to listen to after the kids are in bed on Christmas Eve. The kids don't want to hear this one.
It's the holiday dark side of the moon.
There you go. You watch Wizard of Oz while you listen to it.
You gotta watch
my
Elf.
Clickbait. My clickbait headline to describe the album: a heartwarming story of angels, hope, and you whispering, "We should have parked closer," during every soft ballad. It is kind of long. Mm-hmm. It is, like, it does seem to drag a little bit to me, but I think it's supposed to. It's supposed to be a big narrative and a big statement, and it's the impatience of holiday music. I expect 2 to 3 minute ditties, mm-hmm. boom, boom, bang, and you move on, and that's mm-hmm. not what this is.
You're not a nutcracker guy? I miss having nutcrackers on, like, our dining room coffee table. Did you ever have that set that had, like, the bowl of nuts and it would come with the...
Yeah, with a hammer and stuff.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Those metal picks and break them apart. You can't... Children can't be trusted with that anymore for some reason. I'm not sure why. I mean, I didn't do anything I wasn't supposed to with those.
I'm sure.
Killer to filler. I mean, I'll just throw it out there. For me, the killers were the instrumentals. Yeah. And the fillers were the ones with vocals.
Yeah, the O Come All Ye Faithful, O Holy Night one. I think that one's really cool. And, you know, the Mariah Carey note, they actually hit on the guitar instead. And it's it works. It's intense. Yeah. And I like it.
What about the silent nutcracker? you get kicked really hard and you just
you can't
make a noise.
You can't catch your breath. Or can't get any wind to talk. The Silent Nutcracker, that was the more like acoustic rendition of the Nutcracker. And that goes into A Mad Russian's Christmas, which is more symphonic, which also has mm-hmm. elements of the Nutcracker. That's supposedly when the angel is in Russia talking to soldiers, who wish for peace.
The first Noel was nice, too. It was really short, but it was a little acoustic-y thing, real gentle. I like the sound of that, too.
I agree with you. I guess I do prefer the instrumental parts. You know,
I'm just not a Broadway type of guy, when it's got Broadway vibes, I'm a little like, but it doesn't mean it's not good.
Right. And the production, well, I mean, I think... You know, in the world of like progressive rock, the production is often, you know, meticulous, and I think they do a good job here. I mean, all the instrumentation sounds great. I mean, the vocals are...
It sounds huge.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does feel like an airy Christmas night or something. You know, it has a Christmas vibe.
I can't hear it without thinking that it's dark outside, even if it isn't. Yeah,
that's true. Replay value? I'm definitely going to spend time with it. You know, I think it's maybe going to be when I'm alone on at holiday time and, you know, maybe want to get in the spirit by myself.
Or, you know, you could make a thing of it with your family and you could perform it like a play while it's on. You know, you could play the parts.
Yeah, do my own interpretive dance.
Yeah, it could be the angel that overindulges. For me, probably not. I mean, I might, although I am curious now about the other albums, especially the trilogy there. So who knows? Maybe my heart will grow a couple of sizes this holiday season and I'll learn to love this. But I'm not going to say absolutely not, but I doubt it on the replay.
We're planting the seeds and eventually you'll be a musical theater guy.
Yeah.
Legacy? It's certainly sold a lot of records. I think it's, particularly Christmas Eve, Sarajevo, 12 to 24 is, that's all over the place. You hear it all the time. And it's unique. It stands out on the radio when you're listening to holiday music. And then, you know, as you said, they have these live performances that sell out, you know.
People go crazy for it. Crazy. Yeah. For me, the legacy of it is not that it didn't exist before, but the symphonic rock, metal adjacent. I feel like things like this and stuff before it, you know, I know Moody Blues had done things like, you know, like that, but I feel like the age of S&M, Metallica doing the symphonic stuff and there's been a lot of those kind of records since this. Mm-hmm. I feel like this may have been a bit of a nudge in that direction. I can't say for sure, but I feel like the seeds of that for the modern era were laid down here.
Nearly three decades later, Christmas Eve and Other Stories remains a testament to the power of storytelling and the willingness to take Christmas music a little more seriously. Check it out. Hey, it's a guest at the door. It's just kidding.
Before we get to our next holiday album choice, why don't we hear a little bit from our friend Jess at Music Notes with Jess on her recommendation.
Happy holidays, guys. Thanks for inviting me back to talk about a new Christmas album. A great one I'm recommending is Pentatonix, Christmas in the City. got a little bit of everything. One surprising thing is that Pentatonix caved in adding instruments on some tracks. Their claim to fame is being an a cappella quintet, but they didn't abandon their reputation completely. The standout tracks for me are the title track, Christmas in the City, Bah Humbug's a jazzy narration of the Christmas Carol, Christmas Movie, and Moody Rudy's a mashup blending Glenn Miller's In the Mood with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Merry Christmas, Don and Dude, and Album Nerds listeners.
Yeah, well, that sounds like an album you'll definitely like.
Yeah, for sure. I can't get enough of the bop-shoo-wahs. But I appreciate that. You know, that's what we're here for, to share, right? You know, and hopefully some of our listeners are going to go enjoy Pentatonix Christmas. Thanks, Jess, for the recommendation. And happy holidays to you and yours.
You're more into pentagrams.
Yes. Could it be Satan?
Thanks, Jess.
Excuse me. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
It's time again for Deep Questions by Don, the holiday edition. So which of your favorite artists would you like to record a holiday album?
That is a deep question, Don.
Eddie Vedder?
No. I mean, Pearl Jam did a Christmas adjacent song.
Did they?
Yeah, back in the 90s. It was called Let Me Sleep, It's Christmas Time.
Oh, I'll have to check that out.
Because it's about how it's exciting when you're a kid, but when you're a grown up, it's just exhausting. I guess I'm going to say, like, of a current artist that comes to mind, Colter Wall.
Ah.
I love country Christmas albums and holiday albums for some reason. Just, I like that little bit of sadness mixed in with the joy.
Yeah.
You know, that comes in, the earnestness that can be in it in country music and the storytelling. But he's got that deep voice, a different perspective being from the plains of Canada. So, I think I'd like to hear him do some originals and maybe a few traditionals and see what he could do with them.
A little Blue Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because his voice is so deep. It'd be nice. Yeah. I could do that. How about you, Don?
Well, I'm going to go with somebody that's not living.
How convenient.
Yes. I'm going to go with Syd Barrett, who was the first frontman of Pink Floyd. We haven't done one of his albums yet, but I think it's going to be one of my New Year's resolutions to get Syd Barrett on the show. But, you know, he was psychedelic stuff. His lyrics were kind of nonsensical, often fairy tale-ish.
Seussical.
Yes, yes, Seussical, exactly. Very Dr. Seuss.
Although, when I picture him, I picture the Mad Hatter from Alice in Wonderland.
He kind of has that vibe, too.
Yeah.
So, it would be, I think a fun sort of childlike imagination version of Christmas, which would be fun. Definitely more fun than a Roger Waters Christmas.
All Roger Waters would do is rehash or remake a Pink Floyd album and put some Christmas words in it.
Oh, so. That's probably true. Probably true. Which of your favorite artists would you like to record a holiday album? Let us know on our social media like Instagram and Facebook at Album Nerds.
All right, well, I did just mention that I enjoy country Christmas music, so that's the direction I went in. We're going with Kacey Musgraves and her album, A Very Kacey Christmas. We'll get into it, but it has some similar vibes to a holiday special that me and the missus like to watch every year, A Very Murray Christmas.
Yes, I watch that too every year.
Bill Murray did it. It was on Netflix. I don't know how many people have watched it. It's quirky and weird, but it does have, like, the music that's featured in it does have some throwback vibes, 60s vibes, which this album has as well. Kacey Musgraves, born in Golden, Texas, grew up singing Western swing, writing songs from a young age and performing in a yodeling duo. Yodeling. Don't hear that too often.
Jewel.
Jewel, the yodeler as well. Those Alaskan yodelers, you know. Her breakout album was in 2013, same trailer, different park. Known for her warm, airy vocals, clever wordplay, progressive lyrical themes, and her sound draws from traditional country, 60s pop, Laurel Canyon folk, and vintage Nashville countrypolitan, which I just learned the term recently, producing an unmistakable retro-modern mix. And she applies that to A Very Kacey Christmas very well. So it came out in 2016. I had not listened to it. I generally just don't notice when Christmas albums come out. but it was recorded with her longtime collaborators, Shane McAnally, Brandi Clark, Misa Arriaga. I'm not 100% on the pronunciation there, but it's a wide roster of vintage country and lounge music musicians. We have a little Willie Nelson, Leon Bridges, the Cube, Cubie Sisters,
Quebe.
I don't know. But the album mixes traditional Christmas favorites with new originals, and they're all filtered through Musgrave's signature warm mid-century tone. Why don't we check out a little bit of the opening song, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Samba slash island vibes stuff, like that is retro to me, but it works.
Yeah, it's similar to what like Bing Crosby would have done on an album, you know, or those guys were always trying to do something a little exotic on their albums.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I think that's what is captured here. The song was originally written by Hugh Martin and Ralph Blaine in 1943 for Meet Me in St. Louis, which is a musical, right?
Yes.
Originally, I guess the song was a little darker in terms of what the story was in Meet Me in St. Louis. But over the years, different singers have tweaked it a little bit to make it a little more upbeat, because it is sort of sad. It is a little melancholy of a song. But that steel guitar and then those 40s style backing singers just make it feel like what I've feel like Christmas is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's well done.
It is. I really appreciate the vintage feel of this whole album. You know, I grew up with a Gene Autry record, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or something, and it kind of had a similar vibe, and I think she's capturing
the twang.
Yeah. And I just love the, I don't know if it's pedal steel or whatever, some kind of slide guitar, but it just sounds great on almost every track.
I mean, this song has been done and done and done, but I think this is my favorite version of it ever.
Yeah, she definitely nails it.
Yeah. All right, why don't we jump into one of the originals? This one, we have a special guest in Willie Nelson, and it's called A Really Nice Christmas. I don't think that I've ever really loved the song before that has people going really, 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 really.
It's a nice touch.
I like it. So this song, obviously, there's some references to "Hope You All Get Higher Than the Angel on the Top of the Tree." So those little hints of Willie Nelson's.
They don't overdo that stuff.
But he has that reputation for being a marijuana enthusiast.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you could pack a bowl with his hair and smoke it and get high. But I like the wordplay of the really nice Christmas, the Willie nice Christmas. But it's warm and kind and playful. It feels like friendship and camaraderie, and I guess his signature guitar trigger, the one that's got so many holes worn in it. It's like Swiss cheese was featured on the song as well. What was your vibe on this one?
This is the kind of thing I think I would usually hate, you know, because it's just kind of just corny and hokey, but it actually does sort of communicate what it's supposed to do, you know, which is, you know, I mean, Christmas is a, you know, stressful time, you know, try just chill out, you know, just enjoy it, you know, and it works. It's really well done.
And then, you know, in code, if an adult in front of their kid was talking to another adult and said, I'm going to have a really nice Christmas, they would know, wink, wink, you know, I'm going to smoke some green stuff.
Yes.
But I also, there's a bit at the end where it's kind of almost spoken, and she says, have a Willy happy Hanukkah, Feliz Navidadica, a Willy happy Kwanzaa, because it's all the same, a Mele Kaliki Lamaka, whatever. But basically, hey, whatever you want to say, whatever holiday greeting you want to share with me, it's all the same. I feel like there's a little bit of a don't get all worked up about if someone says holiday or Christmas or whatever, that it all means we're trying to be kind to each other and wish each other a good time.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
I really appreciate that. All right, Don, was there a track you wanted to zero in on here?
Yeah, as you mentioned, you know, there's a few originals on the album. And here's one that's actually a duet with Leon Bridges. It's called Present Without a Bow.
It's no red white stripes on a candy cane. Silent night, just one sound to say where the magic goes. All I know.
Yeah, so as I said, it's a duet with Leon Bridges. You know, they're kind of trading verses and lines back and forth, some, you know, nice little harmonies together. Typical sort of lonely, brokenhearted kind of holiday song, you know, like,
yeah,
I'll have a blue Christmas without you, you know.
Yeah, like, I mean, the whole present without a bow is incomplete.
Yes.
Incomplete without each other. But yeah, Leon Bridges is a singer, songwriter, record producer. I guess, what would you say? Soul, neo soul?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd put him in that realm.
Yeah, he's got some nice records out there. Just want to throw him a little love.
He lives a little bit in the rock realm, too. Mm-hmm. You know, he gets around. Yeah, well, you know, I think all of the originals on this album fit well, you know, among the classics. You know, so they still have kind of that retro feel.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, but then thematically, this one is a little more grown up. And mm-hmm. there seems to be like kind of a mix of things, the whole family. Not that the whole family couldn't enjoy the whole thing, but a few that are more about adult topics. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those. It doesn't sugarcoat the holidays. It gives space for vulnerability and reminding people listening that the season's about like relationships and honesty and not just festive perfection. Kind of like the Willie song, a little different, where it's like, chill out,
mm-hmm.
you know, don't get so stressed. I think it's kind of, you know, another one of those moments.
Yeah, I had read a quote from her saying that she wanted to capture all of the emotions of Christmas, you know, not just the happy and the joy, but also the sadness.
Where was the gluttonous song about stuffing our faces?
Oh, yeah.
We do get some stuff about what presents we want.
Mm-hmm.
So that fits in. That's definitely a Christmas thing. All right. So to round it out, you know, we always do four tracks on each album. And we're going to talk now about the closing track. What are you doing New Year's Eve?
Here comes the jackpot.
She nails it vocally on this one, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just, it's sort of sultry.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, overall, like, I just like her style of singing because she just doesn't ham it up too much. I mean, she has a lovely voice and it's very effective, but she's not doing all the rolls. No, runs. She's not doing all the runs and the bends, like all that stuff.
Well, also, I don't sense that. There's a lot of, especially at the holidays where they're trying to sound retro, I think she's just singing it clean, and mm-hmm. I appreciate that as well. The retro stuff, I think, comes more from the instrumentation. But yeah, that song is a classic jazz standard from 1947. Gets a little twang thrown in here, a little country feel with pedal steel in the mix.
Yeah, it does feel like instrumentation that would have been like on a Nashville record in the 1960s.
Like a Loretta Lynn or something.
Yeah.
And she does have a Loretta Lynn aura to her, let's say.
Yeah, even her hair on the album cover kind of looks like Loretta Lynn.
But her vocal approach, Musgrave's vocal approach, does walk a fine line between honoring the song and bringing in her own laid-back sensibilities. I think she does it well. But yeah, that song essentially asking someone if they want to spend New Year's Eve together with you. It's the wind down of the holiday season, and it could be a joyous time or a sad time. I mean, we've all seen When Harry Met Sally, you know, mm-hmm. and movies like that, where it's like, who are you going to kiss at midnight and all that. And there's also that come down from Christmas. And so I think this captures that really well. And then it kind of fades out into the party atmosphere, you know, the party winding down and mm-hmm. that kind of thing. It just sounds like a crowd, you know, breaking up after a party. And mm-hmm. I kind of like that effect too.
Yeah, with the old Lang Syne on there. Yep. Nice touch.
Very good way to close the record for sure. All right. Why don't we rewind and reflect on A Very Casey Christmas? My clickbait headline to describe the album: Casey Musgraves turns classic holiday album tropes into songs that are warm, witty, and somehow perfectly modern. I think we've probably hit these points a few times, but the album is warm and cozy, and it's playful, and it takes those traditional songs, the country sound, more modern approach, and makes something new out of something old. and I like it. It ranges emotionally from nostalgic and intimate to humorous and bittersweet. And Casey's light, nuanced vocals really do balance the conversational storytelling with the melodic warmth of the album.
I agree.
I knew you would.
Well, I'll give you my clickbait headline, very much in the same spirit. Casey wraps Christmas in vintage charm. But yeah, I love the retro vibes of the album. We'll talk about the track list in a second, but it's not a group of songs that I would normally choose for a holiday album.
I look at the list, I'm sick of them.
Yeah.
But not anymore.
Yeah. She just magically, made it interesting and just, something I want to listen to.
So yeah, we'll get into the killer to fillers here. Christmas Makes Me Cry on the killer list.
Yeah. That's another original, right?
Yes. And it's vulnerable and somber and genuine. It kind of acknowledges the loneliness or melancholy that the holidays can bring instead of glossing over it with all the jingle bells, Batman smells, and all that jazz.
A lot of suicides this time of year. Just kidding.
Damn, dude. Another Bose song, Ribbons and Bows. That's an original also. Kind of has that Christmas, that 60s girl group energy, I think.
Mm-hmm. It does.
What were some that popped for you?
Well, I like that she did the Chipmunks song, Christmas Don't Be Late. You know?
Yeah, it's really nice to hear it without the Chipmunk voices, which I loved as a kid, but now I just find it grating.
Yeah, but you kind of recognize now that it's actually a nice song. It's a nice melody.
Yeah.
I think she does great jobs with songs like Feliz Navidad and Melikalikimaka.
Melikalikimaka.
Yeah.
Yeah, I usually shrug that song off and like, whatever. Yeah. But again, she nails it. I don't know. I can't put my finger on what makes these songs like all tolerable, not only tolerable, but enjoyable to me on this album.
And then, I mean, even a song, like I have no desire ever to hear I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. But even that is tolerable. You know, it's,
and I think those are the songs, that one in particular, maybe the Chipmunks one, that, like the baby boomer generation would have grown up on probably, I'm sure that there's a nice recognition there when folks from that generation are listening to this. No fillers. It's all good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you.
Production wise. I mean, it's got the retro aesthetics, but it's got the country pedal steel, and the song sequencing I think is really important here. The flow is nice. A warm opener, some upbeat swings, a couple novelty covers, some heartfelt ballads, a little soul, and then a nice smooth closer that gives you that end of the year, New Year's Eve party winding down feel. It really gives the album rhythm and keeps interest high throughout.
Yeah, and I just picture it being recorded in like a sort of an old-timey Nashville studio. And I don't think there was much polishing being done. There's not a lot of overdubs.
It feels analog. I'm sure it wasn't recorded on tape. I'm sure it was recorded digitally, but it feels analog and warm. And I mean, that's what holiday albums should sound like. They shouldn't be these super clean whip off 12 quick Christmas songs and send it out as a Christmas album. There was a lot of thought and care put into this and its arrangements, and I appreciate that. Replay value. Donald.
Yes. I'm definitely going to listen to it again. It's in the holiday rotation now and probably will be forever.
There is no rotation for me. This will be it, at least for this year. I don't need any of the other stuff. This covers all the bases. The rest of it's going in the garbage. Legacy-wise, I think this just establishes Casey's talent and her knack for being who she is and being the artist that she is, exploring things the way she wants to, staying true to the Casey Musgraves sound. It's not a Christmas album to meet a record deal quota. It just feels like a passion project. And to this young artist, I think that adds to another feather in her cap of a genuine force to be reckoned with in Nashville.
Yeah. You could call it a vibes record,
Sure.
Just the atmosphere and the personality is there, but it's not over the top. So often when people are trying to have a personality driven record, it's obnoxious. And this is just feels honest and somehow original.
Yep. That's tough to do in the holiday music sphere. Yeah. So congratulations, Ms. Musgraves. So from cozy classics to witty originals, this album's packed with heart, charm, and all the holiday vibes. Seriously, check it out.
It's Willy Willy Nice.
Welcome to the party, pal!
Happy holidays to my favorite album nerds, Don and Dude. It's Steve from the New Wave Music Podcast, and I've got a seasonal pick that you should check out. Billy Idol's Christmas album, Happy Holidays. It might not be what you expect. If you're thinking you're going to get that classic Idol sneer and punk rock edge, this album takes a very different turn. Instead, he leans into a warm, almost Bing Crosby-style crooner vibe, a side of Billy Idol we rarely hear, and it's one that definitely catches a lot of listeners by surprise. Now, I will say this is not a perfect record. I do appreciate how Billy approaches the classics. Tracks like God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen actually benefit from that smoother vocal delivery. However, the original songs like Happy Holidays and Christmas Love don't leave much of an impression and miss some of the character that people expect from a Billy Idol record. Overall, it's very much an all cheer, no sneer kind of album. Depending on what you want from Billy Idol doing Christmas music, that can be either delightful or a bit underwhelming. But one thing's for sure, if you've ever wondered what a new wave legend sounds like in full holiday crooner mode, this absolutely scratches that itch. And honestly, it's one of those rare albums from an 80s icon that you can play around the house and even grandma will enjoy. Billy Idol's Happy Holidays is available now on all streaming major platforms if you want to check it out this season.
As far as I know, all grandmas love Billy Idol.
Sure. I was hoping he'd do like... It's a nice day for a white Christmas. In the midnight clear.
Okay. Yeah. But yes, those are very clever, Don.
Thank you.
I'm sure they just came to you. But Steve, thank you very much. I love that he's always straightforward and honest with the pluses, the minuses. And if you like Billy Idol, if you like new wave music, definitely go check that one out. Thank you, Steve. And Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to you and your listeners.
Toys without a stocking. No, it's eyes without a face.
Oh.
Sorry.
That was a stretch. Good God.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
All right, well, we both went on a long ride with Santa. On our way back, did you happen to discover any other holiday albums to dig?
Santa Claus wants some loving. Yeah, I did. On the journey of trying to choose an album, I was looking for things out of the ordinary. And damn if I didn't find one. James Brown, Hey America, from 1970. James Brown, iconic American singer, songwriter, band leader, widely considered the godfather of soul, whose innovations in rhythm, horn-driven funk, and raw vocal intensity helped define that whole soul sound and funk and the hays and the yows and all that stuff beyond what anyone had done before. But on Hey America, it's all originals. James and his band funking it up, and they started off with the track Hey America.
Hey America, it's Christmas time.
The record fuses holiday songs and Brown's groove. It's funky, it's soulful. It has social consciousness mixed in about, you know, poor kids, and it's kind of like he's on the mic just taking some loose notes and making it up as he goes, which is super cool, like for one or two listens, but yeah, as far as for like what I was looking for our picks, not so much, but for just a weird, fun Christmas album to listen to, highly recommend.
Yeah, it actually made me kind of sad at times. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. I like during the one about the little boy and the Christmas presents, like if I allowed myself to, I probably could have dropped a tear.
Wow.
No, probably not. But yeah, I could feel that it was emotional. Anyway, I also always like to pick something out of my record collection. I recently picked up a copy of an album we talked about years ago on a holiday spectacular, the Sal Soul Orchestra Christmas Jollies from 1976. It's a disco soul funk band assembled by producer arranger Vincent Montana Jr. And they kick it off with a little disco little drummer boy.
It's
So yeah, festive fusion of disco flair and Christmas cheer. I'm not sure really what you do with it. It's fun to listen to, but I
feel like you go roller skating.
So yeah, sure. If you're having a roller skating holiday party, salsa orchestra, that's your ticket. But yeah, I picked up a vinyl copy, I don't know, a couple of months ago at the local record store. So
nice find.
Thank you. What do you got there, Don? What are you pulling out of Santa's sack?
Well, I pulled out a classic artist, but not an album I had spent time with before. Ray Charles, The Spirit of Christmas. This actually came out in 1985. Kind of, trademark gospel blues Ray Charles, and some traditional carols and some newer things. Probably the most known song is one that appears on National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, The Spirit of Christmas.
Christmas is the time of year for being with the one.
And the album's actually called The Spirit of Christmas, but this is another good one. Kind of forgotten, I think, from the 1980s. I also wanted to mention a documentary that you can find on YouTube. It was actually done by the BBC, or released by the BBC. It's the making of Do They Know It's Christmas, right? And of course, Do They Know It's Christmas was the charity song that Bob Geldof arranged in 1984 to raise money for the starving folks in Africa. And it featured all the big British artists, mostly British artists from that period of time, including basically U2, Culture Club, Duran Duran, Spandau Ballet, also Phil Collins on drums.
Jeez.
Somehow
on We Are the World, the American answer to that, we ended up with Dan Aykroyd on our song. I'm not sure how.
Mostly, not really edited much, just people in the studio singing, kind of showing how they did it in, like 48 hours. So here's that song, Do They Know It's Christmas?
That's nice to hear George Michael on there, too. Mm-hmm. Recently talked about a Wham album, so.
Yep. Yeah, so again, it's the making of Do They Know It's Christmas.
I'll definitely have to check that one out. You said YouTube?
Yeah, that's pretty, because it's a BBC thing, so it's awesome. They made it available here on YouTube. It's on like the official Live Aid channel, I think.
Okay.
So you're not like, you're not breaking any rules by watching it on there.
Good to know. Don't break rules at Christmas time. Santa will get angry.
Right. What are you digging this holiday season? Let us know. Join us on the socials, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky at Album Nerds.
It will be a discovery of extraordinary value.
Well, here we are again. It's time on the show when I'm reminded of the passage from Meredith Wilson's It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas. Soon the bells will start, and the thing that will make them ring is a carol that you sing right within your heart.
That's where the carols live, I think.
It's true. Carol King, Carol Brady, Carol Janney, Carol Burnett. Carol Kane. With all that in mind, as 2025 comes to a close, we, of course, have a lot to consider. We have to think about the albums that came out in 2025 that were our favorites. So that's what we're going to do next time. We'll have a nice discussion about some of our favorite albums of 2025.
All right, so what are your favorite records of 2025? What else are you listening to? Email us at podcast@albumnerds.com or follow us on Instagram and other social media at Album Nerds. And visit albumnerds.com to listen to all 318 episodes. And the best way to support the show is to share it. Please subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app. And talk about us at Christmas dinner.
Yes, please. Play the show during Christmas dinner. Mm-hmm. This episode, this very one. Thank you, as always, for joining us here on the podcast. We'll catch you next time with some favorites from 2025.
Jingle All the Way with Donnie Likey Christmas, the holiday album from your favorite co-host of the Album Nerds Podcast.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Don will have you rocking around the Christmas tree like never before.
Feliz Navidad, Prospero Ano e Felicidad.
12 classic holiday treats with that fresh Donnie flavor.
To lay before the king, ba-ra-ba-bum-bum.
Donnie's velvety vocals will warm you up faster than a cup of hot sink.
Well, tonight, thank God it's them instead.
Don't miss out on the festive fun. Donnie Lakey Christmas is the perfect soundtrack for trimming the tree, wrapping gifts, or cozying up by the fire. Make your holidays merry and bright with Donnie Lakey Christmas. Streaming now everywhere.
That is beautiful stuff. And you know what the world needs now is that Donnie Lakey flavor. Happy holidays, everyone. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
And a happy new year.